second hour of Why I Can Say I Am God. Why I Can Say I Am God. I never question this, but the question comes up, why can I say I am God? Why can I say that I am the creative cause of the universe? I am the all. I am the is. I am God. It would seem like that's taking on a pretty heavy responsibility to say I am God. It takes on a pretty heavy attitude that says that I must be God, act like God, think like God, live like God, be in every way, in every possible way, what God is, as I understand God to be. Well, I understand God is all. I understand that that doesn't mean a thing to me when I say God is all, but God is all. And I say, God is the power of the universe. And yet, God is not the power of the universe. For there is no power in the universe. The power is to make things happen, to bring things about, to create things. And, as far as God is concerned, all is created from the beginning, and there's no end. And this creation exists. It exists as a complete whole, and I know that. And this creation exists in all of its beingness, in all of its isness. And I say, why can I say I am God? Well, this infinite cause, this attitude of mind or whatever, it created all things, and I am something. And I am more than something, because I recognize and I know that this infinite creative cause created all things. Perhaps animals think this too, I don't know. I doubt that. Perhaps snakes and stones and other things think this too, I sometimes wonder. And then a divine flash comes through my consciousness and says, if all is God, and God is the stone and the tree and the bird and the bee and the human and me, if God is all this, and if God is in all this and as all this, then this is all that God is. And if I am all of God, wow. If I am all of God, why is it that I am not demonstrating my life what I think God would demonstrate if God were living in my life? And God is living in my life. So, why do I have the attitude of littleness or of just a portion of the allness? Why don't I have the idea that I'm the allness of God? And every thought that I think is realized, and all of life is fulfilled. I can say I'm God because I'm coming to the realization that this is who and what I am. This is how I think. This is how I live. This is how I am. God thinks all things, and God thinks nothing. God is all things, and God is nothing. Now, that's a difficult concept to accept. How can you be all things and yet be nothing? How can you be everything that exists and yet be nothing that exists? Because everything that exists is the nothing, and nothing is everything that exists. Who says? Who says this is so? Is this some fantasy you've made up out of your imagination, out of your creative thinking? Or is this a reality? Who says this? Well, in me is a knowingness that says it. In me is an awareness that says it. In me, there is an isness that says it. Oh? Well, what makes you think that isness is going to be right, and that perhaps it's not just a lark, not just something that you're imagining? Well, I feel very good about it. I feel very good about being the allness and being the nothingness, being the isness. I feel very good about these things. I feel very comfortable. And when I rest in the awareness that I am God, really rest in the awareness that I am God by repeatedly saying I am God, by building that in my consciousness as my reality, I feel content. I feel right. I feel perfect. I feel good. I can say I'm God because I feel good about it. If I were saying I was something I didn't feel good about, I'd wonder, is that true or not? If I were to say about myself I'm some bad thing, and then I think about it and I think, can I be something bad? And I answer myself, no. You can't. You can't be something bad because it's not your nature. It's not your being. It's not who you are. Well, how do I know who I am? Well, I know who I am by how I feel inside. I know who I am by how I look at the world about me. Do I look at the world about me and see it and call it good and very good? Do I look at the world about me and think that the world about me is something supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Do I think it is just wonderful, just marvelous, just fantastic? I do. I look at the world about me and I say, this is what God hath wrought. This is what God has brought forward. And I see everything through the eyes of God, because I'm God. And as I see all things through the eyes of God, I'm seeing it as what? As good and very good. I see all things as good and very good, and I like it. I like it. I know then that I can say I'm God because I like it. I like the creation in which I live, move, and have my being. I like it. I like this creation, and I feel good about this creation. And this creation is harmonious with who and what I am. It's just good. It's just right. I can say I'm God because the very heart of me jumps for joy whenever I say I'm God. The spirit within me, the essence within me, the life force within me feels very good when I say I am God. It feels like what I am doing is the reality. What I am doing is who I really am. Oh my. And I feel so good about that. I feel so peaceful, so content, so happy with myself. Oh yes, I can say I am God, and mean that I am God. I can say that I am God and that I'm a happy God. I'm a happy, fulfilled God. I'm a magnificent God. I am the reality of all that is God. And it's good. And it's very good. It's good, and it's very good, it's good, and it's wonderful. When I see a little baby, and I see them responding to life, and I see their happiness, I see their joy, I see the sounds that they make. The sounds that they make are sounds of bliss, of peace, of goodness. Why don't I make those sounds all the days of my life? Why don't I make baby sounds all the time if I think that's so blissful and so wonderful? Well, good question. Good question. Perhaps it's because I feel I've grown out of that. And then I ask myself, why would I ever want to grow out of bliss? Why would I ever want to grow out of being the feeling of innocence, being the feeling of all good? Why would I ever want to grow out of that? And the truth is, I don't. But I allow myself to live in a world that I've created and think that I have responsibilities to this world that I've created, and think that in this world I must be various levels of being, a child, a youngster, a young adult, an adult, a senior adult. I think I must be all these things. And then I ask myself, why? They oftentimes say of older people, they have the second childhood, because they're starting to be innocent again. They're starting to be free spirits again. They're starting to not have responsibility anymore. Hey, why do we go through the idea of needing to have responsibility when all the time we want to get back to the idea of having no responsibility, of just living in our ideal spirit, mind, and body? How blissful that is. How magnificent that is. Oh, that just sort of reaffirms in me that I am God. It reaffirms in me that I am the creator of my universe, and I am the creator of my universe once, and it is done, and now I'm enjoying that creation. I'm enjoying that expression. And so as I look at myself, I say, did I create everything good? Did I create everything beautiful? Did I create everything fantastic? Well, if so, everything in my world must be good, beautiful, and fantastic. Why would I ever look at my world and see it less than beautiful, good, and fantastic? How could I look at my world and see it less than beautiful and fantastic if that is what I've created? And truly, that is what I created. But in my heart, in my mind, in my beingness, I sometimes look at my creation and I judge it because it has a speck of dust on it. I judge it because I do not see it fulfilling all that it is. I just see it starting on the path. And in truth, it is not only started on the path, it is the path itself. It is complete and full in every way. I can say I am God because I have the capacity to recognize this. I have the capacity to know the truth about me and my creation. My creation is not a developing creation. It is not a creation from childhood to adulthood. It's not that at all. It's the ideal man, the ideal woman. And when I allow myself to think that there has to be a developmental process, I am doing that to myself. It does not need to be. It already exists. That It is complete and whole, the ideal fulfilled. I remind myself again and again and again, return to my original purity and integrity. Return to my original purity and integrity. That's the ideal being that I am. That's the ideal self that I am. I return to my original purity and my original integrity. And as I return to my original purity and integrity, it was always there. It was always shining forth, always being me and being wonderful. And as it's so wonderful, I look at it and I say, wow, I created that. And the interesting thing is, everything that I created is complete. I did not mess up on anything. I did not give it enough or give it too much. I did not give it the need to grow up from a child. The child is the innocence in us. Always there, always was there, always will be there. The innocence in us. And when I am aware of this innocence, I am the innocence. I put around it a cloak of a child being so that I can feel that I can allow myself to be this innocent, whereas in all things I know everything. But the child's innocence is the innocence of being that which they are. Not wanting it to develop, not wanting it to change, just to be it. And just sort of sparkle in their beingness. Oh yes, I look at a little child, and they can leap and jump and spring out of their one position to another with great joy in their heart, with great agility in their body. Their body is not limited in any way. It's a fresh, new body, perfect in every way. My body is a fresh, new body, perfect in every way. My body is the ideal body, perfect in every way. My body is the innocent body, perfect in every way. My body is the body that springs forth into action and joy, delight and happiness. Always looking at new possibilities for it. And my body looking for new possibilities finds it. And I, for some reason, stop realizing that within me is every nutrient, every atom, every source of substance, every vitamin or mineral that could ever be needed to create my body. Because it is the evolution of an atom. And the atom itself has all those things in it, everything. And my body is an atom, one or more. And it has in it every vitamin, mineral, everything that the body might enjoy, not need, but enjoy. And so when I recognize this, I recognize that I am complete, I am whole, I am fulfilled right now. I am God. I don't need to go back to what I see as a human child. I go to the divine child. I go to the divine child in me that is already complete and full, and aware of it, and yet not aware. Complete and full, but yet with an innocence of saying, oh, how about that? Isn't that nice? That's good. I can say I'm God because I am all these things. I am the beauty, the harmony, the goodness, the joy, the love, the unconditional love. The unconditional love that looks at myself and sees me good and very good. That looks at the world and sees the world good and very good. That looks at everything and sees it good and very good. Yes, this is what I am. This is who I am. And this is why I am. And I feel so blessed when I have these moments of awareness, of knowing who I am. But with every moment of awareness, there's also that moment of unawareness. With every moment of spiritual healing, there's the moment that might come of being aware that at some point I was not spiritually whole. And I think to myself, what a waste of time to think that I was ever not spiritually whole, that somewhere in my developmental pattern or something, I expressed something other than the purity and the wholeness and perfection that I am right now. I know that I am God. I know that I, as God, created everything in this world as God also. As I think that God, in all of its magic, created me in all of its magic, as all of its magic, so I, as God, in all of my magic, create all in my world according to what I see my magic to be. Now, my original creation was perfect. Original purity and integrity. The ideal. And now I see myself creating something less than perfect. And I say, hey, what am I doing here? Why am I creating something less than perfect? Why am I creating something that I create that must be like grass that grows from a seed and develops into grass? Why don't I just say grass, and there it is? Why don't I just say ideal me, and there I am? Why don't I just say ideal world, and there it is? Ideal, perfect, wonderful, fantastic. No change, no additions, no improvement, no upgrading, just being itself. It's original purity and integrity right now. Oh, I feel so good when I think those thoughts. I feel so good when I think that thought, because that's who I really am. That's who I really am. That thought is who I really am. And that thought is me. And that thought is me now. And that thought is all that matters. That thought is me now. And that thought is all that matters. And that's all that matters to me, is this nowness of who and what I am. Yes, I am God. Do I go around every moment of my life, do I go around professing I am God, claiming I am God, living, I am God? Do I, every moment of my life, realize I am the divine? If not, why not? If not, why not? How silly. If I am the son of a king, or if I am the son of a wealthy family, and I go around pretending that I don't have wealth, I'll get the response of my pretense. It's not the truth, but I'll get the response of that pretending. If I am living as a beautiful being, and I am divine, and I am whole and perfect, and I go around expressing some imperfections, how silly. That's not my reality. My reality is my original purity and integrity. My reality is all that is good. That's who I am. Now, why don't I go around expressing that all the time. Well, my divine self does do that. But I've created a human self, which is an illusion, and it goes around saying things that are not true of its reality. And so it creates these untrue things as illusions, and they look very, very real. In fact, they even hurt or they even feel good. But my original purity and integrity feels no hurt or goodness. It is pure is in all of its glory. A pure is in all of its perfection, all of its fulfillment. That's all it is, and that's all that it needs to be or will ever be. Why can I say I'm God? Because I can be aware of my choice of returning in my awareness and my thought to my original purity and integrity. I can be aware of that and do it. Now, I do it many, many, many times. I do it every single day, many times. And yet, the great athletes are the athletes who practice every single day. They practice the art of their gift. Great musicians and ballet dancers and others who have artistic talent, they practice this every day. And as they practice this every day, they keep themselves fit, able, aware that they are that which they claim to be. Now, what if I, as a musician, were just to claim I am music, and I love music, and I play music perfectly all the time? My repertoire is unlimited. I know all the music that has ever been written. And as I play it from my inner self, I play it beautifully and perfectly and wonderfully. Now, that music always was there and always is there. That music, in its ideal form, perfect form, no bad notes, all that music in its perfect form, it always exists in its perfect form, in its ideal form, and it is always there. And I am that music. And if I think I am playing because I'm training my fingers how to run across the keyboard, I'm open to making mistakes. But if I am not playing the piano, I am playing the music, and I play every piece of music perfect, and I play it with feeling. I play it with the magic that the composer created it to be. And I don't think a thing about it. It's just natural. It's just natural. When did I fade away from my naturalness? When did I think there was another aspect to the music than the aspect of its original integrity, its original perfection? When did I take that upon myself as something real for me? How silly. Now, as a great musician, as a person whose talent is music, I don't have to practice every day. I don't have to spend hours and hours and hours practicing. But I do have to spend every moment of my thought in the awareness I am the ideal musician. I am the ideal musician. And I play as the ideal musician. And I know all music. My repertoire is infinite. And I play all music of my choice. whatever my desire to express a piece of music, there it is. Now, what if I wanted to express a piece of meditation music? What would that meditation music consist of? Well, it already exists. Would it consist of quietness, loudness, softness, rhythm, balance, harmony? What would it consist of? Well, it depends on who I am. If I am a vital, dynamic, alive person who is out doing things and just enjoying every single moment of life, my music would demonstrate that. It would reveal that. You can always tell what's in the musician's heart by what he's playing, by what he chooses to work on, to play well. And some play somber music. They feel the fugues of Bach and so forth, what they want to play. Others, they play the light, cheery music, the light opera, the grand opera, even stuff that is just charming. And what do I play on the instrument of my heart? I am all music. I am all dancing. I am the choreographer of all the things that go on in my life. It doesn't matter where I am or what I'm doing. I set it to music. I set it to harmony and balance and peace. I am God. I am the Creator. I choose the musical pieces I would like to hear when I go to the store, when I listen on the television or radio or on the pieces that I have selected to have in my ownership. How interesting. What kind of music do I have? What kind of music do you have? It's very telling. It tells where we are in our hearts, where we are in our expression of who we are. It is so beautiful to be aware that everything I do expresses the level of divinity that I claim for myself. Not that I am, but that I claim for myself. And so when I claim a little bit, then I have a little bit. When I claim a lot, then I have a lot. It's all a matter of where do I place my choices? Where do I place my present interests? Oh, I might be listening to some very vibrant music. I might just be feeling so dynamic and so vibrant. And then a thought strikes me, an inspiration takes over. And the inspiration says, peace, 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 peace. And immediately, peaceful, gentle music plays in my heart. And I am peace. Whatever I am is the music I listen to. Whatever I am are the words I listen to, the stories I listen to, the theater that I listen to that other people give me. And when I listen only to the highest and best, then I am expressing the highest and best, and I will always be expressing the highest and best. And there is no other for me to express. There's no other climbing the ladder of awareness, climbing the ladder of understanding. There's none of that. I am there now. I am it now. I am fulfilled now. I am God. I might create something that is inharmonious with my world and myself. Why I would do it it's hard to imagine, but I might do that. But the minute I do it, I immediately say, I choose to create everything harmonious and good. Not that I don't want what I had just created, but I choose to create everything harmonious. And so then I create everything harmonious and good. I have that choice right then and there. And then I give what I don't want to be in my world no attention. I let it atrophy. I let it die, dry up and blow away. And as I let it do that, all of the goodness that's in me blossoms. All of the beauty that's in me sparkles out. All of the wisdom that I am, good, sound, beautiful wisdom, shines forth from every corner of my being. And I am one. I am one, the only one. I am one, the divine one. How glorious that is to be the divine one, to be the only one. But I have this choice. Because while things are not negative, bad, evil in my world, they appear to be that way as they are put side to side with my humanness. And when I let my humanness go, atrophy, I let my humanness just sort of dry up and blow away, then all things that were comparing themselves to my humanness fade away. And all things that are reflecting the divinity in me, that reflects my ideal self, which reflects my pure God self that I am, not the illusion, not the appearance of something otherwise, they all disappear, blow away in the dust. And it's as though I had never known those othernesses in my life. For I never rethink them again. I never call them back into expression again. I only recognize that I am free now. I am free and clear now. I am wonderful now. Oh, the things that I say to me right now and to you listening sound sort of irrelevant, sound sort of beyond the pale, but truly, they are significant. Truly, they are who I really am. I really do have the ability to say yes or no. I really do have the ability to do these things, but in my beingness, in who I am, it's unthinkable I would say yes to a no. It's unthinkable that I would say that I want something that is not for my highest and best, absolutely for my highest and best. It's unthinkable that I would ever desire such a thing, entertain such a thing, or show such a thing. Oh, yeah. When I look at pornographic magazines, or I talk to people about the negative things of the world, or when I'm looking at anything which displays the absolute pure life in anything but its perfect nature, then I am saying, I want to play in the dirt. I want to play in the negative. I want to play in the anti-world. I know it's an illusion. I know it's not real. I know it's not going to be everlasting. I know that it is just a temporary thing. And yet, I choose to play there sometimes. And then as I awaken and I say, who am I really? Here I am, a mathematician, and I say, 1 plus 1 equals 2. And here I am, a mathematician, knowing math, saying 1 plus 1 equals 3. What is the matter with me? How can I speak this which is not true, this which is contrary to what I know? How can I speak that? How can I live that? How can I say it? Well, we don't spend our time figuring how we can say it or what we can do. We only spend our time on doing what we want to do. What we want to do is to say, all is in divine order right now. And what we really want to do is to say, this is a good world, a very good world. I created it. And I live in its goodness. I live in its wholeness. I live in only that which is. And when I say that, when I affirm that, that's what I am. Why I would do anything different, I don't question that. I let that question why just sort of dry up and blow away, because that's not important. When little children ask why, they're not asking why of a negative, they're asking why of a positive. But we think in our great wisdom and in our mature understanding that they're asking a question about something that they appear to be asking a question about. But they're not. They're asking a question about the ideal. The manner in which they express themselves may not be indicating they're asking about the ideal, but they are. Why are they asking about the ideal? Why? Because they're God, and because the ideal is the only thing they know. Now, why do they think they have to ask outwardly for what they already know within themselves? Because this is a game we have taught them to play too. We tell our children, you don't know everything. You don't know everything. You're not a genius. You're not fantastic. You're not glorious. I know. I'm not glorious, and I'm an adult already, and I'm not. And I know my mother and father. They're not perfect, and they're not magnificent, because they're already older than I am, you know? Crazy. And yet, the moment I would say to my child, let's listen within. The voice within you wants to tell you the answer to every question you could ever have, and gives you the ideal answer, and gives it to you right now. It is not confusing. It is not in some circles where they say, and now this is somebody saying something to you, and this is something that you have to consider, and this is some things that you might understand. The divine in us speaks forthright, positive, complete, and perfect, telling us every single thing that we could ever desire to know. Every single thing that we would want to be, because we already are that. The divine in us does know it and is revealing it to us, and we do know it ourselves. But it takes a little bit of reiteration, a little bit of affirmation, a little bit of saying it again and again and again and again until it's your clarion call to the reality of who you are. You are beautiful and good right now. You are magnificent right now. You are God right now. You are the allness right now. You are all in all. Nothing can compare to you. Nothing. Nothing tries to compare to you. And here's another way that I've reaffirmed in my mind that I can say I'm God. Every concept that comes to my mind reveals itself according to the thoughts that I have in my mind. And if my thoughts are limited, these concepts reveal themselves as limited. If my thoughts are impure, not a blessing to me or the world, then that's the way they'll be revealed in my mind. And I'll think that that's what it really was. I'll think that's what God was talking to me. And all that was the working of the law of cause and effect. For whatever thoughts I have in my mind, whatever desires, dreams, goals, whatever choices I make, these are the guideposts for how I receive the divine wisdom within me, revealing it in my world. If I have a perfect platform, if I have a perfect house, if I have a clean plate, then everything I eat from that plate will be clean. Everything in my house will be that which I have accepted. And anytime something wants to get into my consciousness, into my house, into my experience, and it is not the absolute ideal me, I just say, no, thank you. Go and have a good day. Do whatever you want to do, but not in my house. My house is a temple of the living God. My house is the temple of beauty and goodness and right action. My house is my house. It's where I am. It's where I live. My house is permeated with every thought I think about myself. It is permeated with every dream of my heart. My house is the reflection of who I am. And so everyone who comes upon my house finds who I am so boldly standing out there. They say, wow, I like being here. There's a sense of peace here. There's a sense of right action here. There's a sense of truth here. I like it here very much. And, in truth, it is a likable place, a fantastic place. I am God. And I can say I am God as that is the only statement, the only cause, the only awareness that I have in my heart and my mind. That's all. That's who I am. And that's why I am, and that's why it's so great. That's why it's so beautiful. That's why it's so rewarding and so fulfilling. Yes? The music of my heart tells me and tells the world what area I am concentrating on for my goodness. It tells me and tells the world who I am. And the music that I play, and the music that I display, and the music that I share, shows the world where I am coming from, who I am. Now, do I know any pieces that would show the world that I am divine? Do I know any pieces that would show the world that I am ideal? Do I know any musical pieces that would show the world, listening to me demonstrate these beautiful pieces, that I am God? Do I have the ability to express that, to share that, to show that, to be that? Do I? Oh, I do indeed. I do indeed. And how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. The mother of a child who is learning piano music sometimes becomes distressed because the child plays the pieces over and over and over again and plays them loud and strong and powerful. And the mother thinks, why so much? Enough is enough. And yet, that child is so imbued, so filled with the purity of the music that that child is playing, that that child hears what it's playing and it hears even a greater depth than what it hears on the instrument that is shining it forth. It goes into the ideal of the music, the ideal of the playing, and as it goes into the ideal, it is the ideal. And as it goes into the ideal, you are the ideal, playing the ideal, demonstrating the ideal, being the ideal. And how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is, that you, I, we, us, are the fulfillment of everything that is good and beautiful. Oh, it's there. It's very much there. It's just waiting for us to claim it and enjoy it. Just waiting for us to know it and to say, yes, that is good and very good. Yes, that is who I am. And when it says, yes, that is who I am, we feel at one-ment with all of our creation and all of the universe. We harmonize with it. The computer people are creating a new program called the cloud. And the cloud is something you purposefully put on your computer. You purposely join your computer with the cloud program. And the cloud program is everywhere. It's on all of the internet, all of the internet's programs. And so you buy a new addition to your programming on your computer, and you install it on your computer. Instantly, as you install it on one of your computers, every computer that has your name on it, every computer that carries your email, every computer instantly is synchronized to have that same program that you have purchased for one computer. Instantly, it goes on to all of them. This is a new program that's being developed these very months, this fall of 2011. And it is in place in a lot of places. I know it's in place on my computers. And as I get any new program, and I instruct that program to be in the cloud on all of my computers, it goes there. And if I instruct that program not to go on any of my other computers, or only one or two, it goes where I tell it to go. It's a beautiful thing. And it goes right through the cloud, right through the internet itself. It links so beautifully, so perfectly. And I am surprised that when I think a thought, it vibrates throughout my entire being and my entire world. The cloud is telling me, wake up, wake up. That's what the way it works. You think your thought, and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. And truly there's no power in the universe, but you think your thought, and instantly your thought is everywhere. And all who choose to accept your thought, they have your thought. They are your thought. This is not so strange on our spiritual level. We call it strange on the human level, the physical, the scientific level. We call that marvelous. But in truth, it's just everything is one. And little by little we come to be aware of that. And when we come to be aware that everything is all right now, then we'll say, wow, how great it is. Truly how great it is. Let this be your dish. Let this be your program. Let this be why you can say you're God. And why you do say I am God. And while you're saying this, you're recognizing that all that is you, which is the universe, which is all beyond the universes, beyond anything we can comprehend, that's you too, because you created it. And so now, with this new thought about you, synchronizing new ideas, they instantly synchronize into all your creation, instantly, right now. And so, we say, I am God. And we say it with all awareness that that's all there is, and how wonderful it is. Let's take a short pause, and on the hour, come back, and we'll go on with, how do you talk to God? How do you talk to God? I love you.